the pro-choice liberal feminazi slut Rush Limbaugh warned you about. It's Start Me Up.
Start Me Up.
With Kimberly A. Johnson.
Hey, I'm also a liberal fucking snowflake, and it's February 8th, 2017, week three with Orange Fuckface. I have such a fun show today. I have this woman on, Stephanie Walton. She hosts the Lady Brain Show, and just a little information on her. I've talked about her on my show before because she's the one who came up with the idea to send donations to Planned Parenthood in Mike Pence's name. And the last time, and she didn't get full credit for it because the story was reported by many different outlets, and they basically sourced a Instagram page for giving that Instagram page credit. But it was really Stephanie's idea. Because she has a show called The Lady Brain. She has a website called The Lady Brain, which you should visit. And we do talk about it in the post. In the podcast. But just before I went on her show, The Lady Brain, in San Francisco, she had emailed me and said, you know, I have this idea. And so she asked me about it. And I said, yeah, I know somebody who could make a meme. So we made a meme and then we put our names on it and we put it all over Facebook and Twitter. And it started to take off. And I believe the last time I heard, and it could be more, but I believe there were 60,000 donations. And I think the minimum donation is $5. So Planned Parenthood got at least $300,000 because of Stephanie's idea. So she's really awesome and she's fun to talk to. And I know you're going to enjoy listening to our conversation because we are kind of like-minded. So if you like the stuff that I'm posting on Facebook and stuff like that, you're going to love the conversation. Before I get into the interview section, I do want to point out there was an article on Vox, and it's basically saying that the resistance is working. Anti-Trump resistance is working. I have seen a few people on Facebook arguing that it isn't. First of all, I would just like to say it's only been 2 weeks. Second of all, here's a blurb from the article. Trump is getting things done, but all presidents do that. Look at what he's not getting done. A Republican-controlled Congress bowed to public outrage over an attempt to water down an ethics office. Trump dramatically downscaled on his own executive order barring entry into the United States from 7 Muslim-majority countries. He's having unprecedented difficulty getting his cabinet nominees confirmed, even though the Senate's rules have changed to make confirmations easier than ever. Conservatives in Congress have put out their big plans to privatize Medicare and public lands on hold, and the drive to repeal the Affordable Care Act is running into very big trouble. This is just one of the paragraphs from the article. I would like to remind everybody out there that you have to protest, you have to participate, but also you have to rest. You have to take some time to recharge your batteries, whether it's watching a movie, going out, taking a walk, hanging out with your friends and family, you know, partaking in any kind of mind control substance that you enjoy that's not going to hurt you in the long run. Don't do too much. You know, if you want to have a drink of wine, if you want to puff a joint, whatever you want to do, do something that's going to relax you and give yourself a break, because we will become fatigued if we don't give ourselves breaks. So I really just want to put that out there that you have to take care of yourself, because these are trying times. These are hard, dark times in our country, and we need time to resist. And I actually find that I look forward to Monday morning now, because my job is I'm a blogger, I'm an author, I'm an activist, an online activist. So once Monday comes, I've kind of refreshed myself over the weekend, even if I've spent some time online, even if I've spent some time being outraged over ridiculous things that Trump has done or Bannon has done or whatever. I've kind of taken this mental break from it. And it really helps, because then I'm recharged on Monday. So so there's that. And let's see. I really just want to get into this conversation with Stephanie, because she's so cool, and I really like talking to her. So before I do, I'm gonna start by asking you to support my show by becoming a monthly subscriber at patreon.com/startmeup. And, you know, you can pledge $1. And if you do that, you'll have my gratitude forever and always. You can pledge $5 a month and you'll get access to the bonus show, which happens. It's called End Another Thing. And it's where my guest and I, or if I'm talking by myself, we'll continue the conversations after the free show. And then if you pledge $10 a month or more, you'll get access to the bonus free show. It's the third show a month with either a special guest, which is usually Bob Seska, or me just going off and having some kind of meltdown about something. But it doesn't have to be a dollar or $5 or $10. It can be any amount that you're comfortable with. So just keep that in mind. It's a great way to support the show and what I'm doing. I'm an independent activist, independent author, independent podcaster. My income is all about, you know, online stuff, whether it's writing articles or doing this podcast. So a lot of people out there tell me to keep doing what I'm doing. So if you can support me, that would be awesome and I would really appreciate it. So I am going to introduce Stephanie now. Stephanie, again, like I said, she hosts the Lady Brain Show. I first met her in 2012. She invited me to be on the show. It's a Comcast show that I believe only airs in Northern California. But I appeared on her show with my mother to discuss our books, The Virgin Diaries, and at the time, Ain't No Sunshine, Men Reveal the Pain of Heartbreak. Unfortunately, on that guest appearance, my mother and I decided, okay, I would cover The Virgin Diaries and she would cover Ain't No Sunshine. So I, you know, they asked me some questions about The Virgin Diaries. And by the time we were finished talking about that, time ran out. So my poor mom didn't get to say anything about our other book. And, oh, well, that's the way it goes. But anyway, she's going to be on the show and we're going to talk about, feminism. We're going to talk about Trump. She's hardcore, she's kick-ass, and I know you're going to enjoy it. So here she is. Hey, Stephanie.
Hey, how are you, Kimberly?
I'm hanging in there. I'm so glad that you're here because I just think you're totally awesome.
We're here. I have to just start by saying this has been such a rough few months.
Yeah.
And you, to me, you're one of the first people I check in with, even if it's virtually, on a daily basis, because I just love where you're coming from, and your fierceness and your commitment to this resistance effort makes me have hope. So thanks.
Well, I feel the same way about you. And by the way, your hashtag Why We Resist video, Donald Trump video challenge, is so awesome. And this idea that I had about the Why We Resist video challenge is taking a little while. But, you know, I think I'm going to stick with it and try to keep it going for as long as I can, because even if it's not something that goes viral, which I really wanted to, and again, your video was freaking awesome. You know, I think that in the end, we know that mocking him is really hard for him. So anything we can do. But before we continue, I just want to give everybody the information on how to find you. We'll do this at the end of the segment as well, but your website is theladybrainshow.tv, and your YouTube channel is The Lady Brain Show with Steph Walton, and that's S-T-E-P-H Walton. And then what's your Twitter handle?
Oh my God, thank you for asking me about Twitter. I'm new to Twitter, but I dig Twitter, and it is Lady Brain Show, at Lady Brain Show.
Okay.
We're also on Instagram at The Lady Brain Show. But yeah, I would love a Twitter follow because, man, that's fun.
Yeah, it is. And tell us a little bit. I mean, I met you. Let's just go back. I met you, I think it was, yeah, it was in 2012. And I was on your show, The Lady Brain Show. So just tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. So The Lady Brain Show started off, gosh, it was like 7 years ago, and I'll try to do this in a Reader's Digest fashion. But the idea was my former partner and I wanted to do a podcast where we gave just sort of advice to our girlfriends. That was the idea behind it. You know, we're going to give you that straight talk and advice that you want. And then it just sort of morphed. I mean, within 6 weeks, we did like 6 different podcasts and KUSF Radio picked us up, which was just weird and sort of out of nowhere. And then I come from a commercial radio background. So I started trying to pimp it there and we got picked up by a pretty big station out of San Jose. It was the 92.3 channel, huge FM signal. And we were there for a couple of years. And then from there, that station went Spanish. So we were sort of out of luck there. We made our way into San Francisco and then Sacramento station picked us up. And then some people from Comcast came and said, hey, we'd love to do your show. A little bit of radio on TV sounds like fun. And it just sort of morphed into that. Then after a couple years of doing that, we decided to, my partner and I had different desires. So we split off. She's doing her own thing now. And I took a 2-year break and now I'm back with a vengeance. I have an amazing platform and I have a message and I know that my message resonates with people who are dissatisfied with the way things are going.
Which is pretty much everyone in the world except for the people who voted for Trump. And even some of them.
Right, exactly. Even some of them. You know what? I'm glad you bring that up because even some of them is becoming more and more a thing. Mm-hmm. And I read an article, the dude, is it David Frum, the guy that writes for The Atlantic? Yeah. Love him because he's reasonable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's a Republican who has come around to say, this isn't okay.
Yeah.
And find people on both sides who are dissatisfied or who believe that Trump should show his taxes.
Yeah. Which there's an article out today that says in Washington Post, there's an article out saying that the Congress has the ability to release his taxes.
I read that last night because all I do is read shit online about him and how wrong he is and how everything they do is incorrect. And it makes me a little crazy sometimes. And I have moments where I'm like, you know what? I love reading stuff like that article because it gives me hope that rational thinking is coming into play here.
Well, you know, going back to the David Frum thing, it's absolutely true that we need more Republicans speaking out. One of them who is awesome, I'm finding right now, is Nicole Wallace. And she,
I love her.
You know, she's on MSNBC often and she's just disgusted with Trump. And honestly, I have no idea. I know she's a conservative and I don't really know how she feels about certain, you know, like abortion or any of that. But she's just so sickened by Trump. And, you know, I posted this on my Facebook page yesterday that she specifically mentioned when Tina Fey did Sarah Palin on Saturday Night Live, it really, really, really bothered Sarah. And that was one little thing, you know. We have so many different ways that we're getting under Trump's skin. And I just really want to push that because I know that it's driving him crazy.
Yeah.
And I know that he's definitely limited as to what he sees. He doesn't see everything. He's not necessarily looking at my Facebook page or whatever, but it doesn't matter because the idea is that if we just all basically gang up on him, it's going to drive him freaking crazy. And that's what I think that's part of what we want to do. You know,
it is. And I love your Why We Resist challenge. I think it's brilliant. And yours was amazing. I was just so impassioned because everything I said is based in we're all equal and we're in control of our own bodies. And people, I think everybody just really wants to be loved and to show love. And there's no love coming from that side.
No.
And when rights are being taken away and when legal immigrants are being told they can't come into this country, America, a country that was built on its diverse population and opening its arms to people of all ethnic backgrounds and religions, like this is not who we are. Mm-hmm. And I felt, you know, my son shot that video of me with the box of pasta and the Thomas's English muffins in the background. But he sees that, and he believed in what was coming out of me. You know, mm-hmm. he I think was proud.
How old is
of,
he?
Of his mom. For did you just hear that ding?
No, me.
Yeah, sorry. No. I'm trying to keep it together on the technical side of things.
No, anyway, how old is your son?
My son is 12 and a half.
Okay.
And you know, when all of this came down, and when you know, the election results happened, I hate to even refer to it in certain ways, and I don't want to slip and ever use the word president with his name ever, because he's Donald or he's Drumpf or he's Trump to me.
I like orange fuckface, but that's just
orange
me.
Fuckface is great. Cheeto fuck.
Yeah. Cheeto fuck. I like Cheeto fuck.
Will Durst, who's a friend of mine, and I had interviewed him shortly after you and I did our amazing interview together where we came up with the Mike Pence brainchild. But anyway,
yeah, we have to
Will
talk
calls
about
him the malignant clown.
Oh, that's a
and
good
I
one too.
Think, and that's a good one too. But what we're doing in showing why we resist is showing the generations that are coming after us, our children, mm-hmm. our, you know, the young people, the millennials, whomever, and everybody else out there, that this isn't okay. This we need to treat each other. We need to come from a place of love. We can be feisty as fuck.
Right.
And but if we're not treating each other with basic decency and having equality be one of the basic tenets, then we're screwed as a society.
Yeah, absolutely. I know. Anyway, and that's why we have to fight. And you know, it's funny because I have like all these notes about things we can talk about. And I know we're not even really going to get even close to half of them. Because you and I could probably just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And talk.
Sorry, yeah, I'm going off.
No. I mean, I want you to, that's the whole point of this. And as far, you know, I mean, I've got here so many things that I want to bring up, and I do really want to talk to you today about feminism. And then actually people did, usually I ask for questions or comments when I do a show, and everybody's so silent until after the show is completely finished. All of a sudden, that's when they have all their questions. That's when they see the mm-hmm. post. But anyway, they actually did have some questions today, so I want to get to some of those. Okay. But a couple of things. I want to talk about this strike. You're familiar with the strike?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I know that there are the women who organized the Women's March in Washington have a date to be announced for whatever they're going to do. And I'm not exactly sure what their goal is. And then there is the general strike. And I think it's I'm going to go look up this website. But I have a post on my page, and it's February 17th. And that's this general day of striking. And there is a website associated with this, which I will read, I think, like the first paragraph. But what I would like to say, because I'm not seeing it, so I'm taking this strike and posting it with the idea that we need to send a message specifically to Republicans, because they are the ones right now who have the power. They can go to Trump. They can ask him to either step down or decide, you know, to find something to impeach him. And I know that they feel that, you know, I mean, I don't know exactly the details. Clearly, I'm not, you know, behind the scenes with the Republicans, and I don't know exactly what they want or what they think they want or what they think they're going to get. But they don't need Trump to do what they want to do.
Right.
They absolutely don't need him. And I think it's pretty clear Trump pissed a lot of Republicans off in the primaries. I think Marco Rubio probably hates him. And, you know, obviously McCain and Lindsey Graham don't like him.
Yes.
So, you know, I mean, I think that with this, what I like to say about this day of striking is if you can't take off from work, if you can't take off from school, don't buy anything. We can really hit them with the consumer strike. And I mm-hmm. know there's a lot of resistance about out there from liberals who are yeah. afraid that this is going to damage our economy and hurt small businesses. And what I have to say about that is just go buy the thing from the small business the day before or the day after. Do
right.
the same kind of thing that you're going to do. Just hold off for a day. And there will be, if enough of us do it, a jolt. And this jolt should specifically be a message to Republicans and that they have to act. And then also, I think it's important that we recognize that since the first day is set for February 17th, it may not take. So that's okay. We'll do it a month later or whatever. We'll continually do this until, because money is their language and it is our weapon. So right. I think that, you know, if it doesn't work the first time, because, you know, they're going to point their fingers and laugh at us if we don't succeed with this, if we don't get what we want from it. And, you know, so I think the most important thing is to recognize that, okay, this may not, you know, we want it to work, but it may not work the first time. So we're in it for the long run. And I think that's kind of the most important thing that we can do. What are your thoughts on this strike?
Well, I'm totally down for it. I'm or down with it. Mm-hmm. I'm hep to that jive.
You're
I'm
hip
going
to
appeal
to
all the demographics with my commenting. I think the louder we are about it, and you have such a wide reach that it's nice to be able to jump on that bandwagon with you, because I feel the same way. So yes, I will happily strike. And I will happily not spend money. I've got my shit together enough to do all my shopping and to take care of my business on the 16th or wait until the 18th.
Yeah.
I also think that people like you and me with these platforms should absolutely continue to spread the word. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Let's start it on February 17th.
Yeah.
And you know, coming from a state of California where we're both located, you know, California, we love California. We enjoy being in this liberal state. We have so much that we have to offer to just our own residents. But I've realized in the last few months what a powerhouse we are, mm-hmm. and how important we are to the U.S. economy.
Yes.
And how much we give to the United States in taxes, in what we pay and what we contribute. So when California shows that it's pissed, or that it, when we resist collectively, I think that's going to make a very big statement. And let's just roll it out. Let's do it again in March.
Yeah.
Let's do it again in April. Let's do it again and say, we're not going away. And then I think as time goes on, we're going to start pulling in some of those people that David Frum was referring to, people who are opposing, you know, the fact that Trump, just to use this example again, that he hasn't shown us his taxes. Mm-hmm. Let's find some common ground. Let's find the Nicole Wallaces of the civilian world and link up with her and people like her.
Yeah. Just for everybody, the website is F as in fuck, or S as in fuck, or S as F as in February 17th. So F17strike.com.
Okay.
And if you want to find out the details from them, but you know, I always say take it a step further and specifically demand that the Republicans get their shit together, because they don't want to. And like, I think it's Jason. I'm never going to say his name right. Chavez, is it Chavez?
Yeah.
He doesn't want to investigate the Russian thing, and you know, they're just they're being such assholes. And let's move this, because I think it was it J-Man on the comment thread asked if we would talk about Elizabeth Warren, and then somebody else, let me hear, I think, and you answered her. I believe it was Robin Denise said, why were there no objections when a male senator read the exact same thing? So basically, long and short, Elizabeth Warren went to read the letter from Coretta Scott King that was against Jeff Sessions from 30 years ago, and she got silenced, and they made her sit down. And then later on, was it Merkley? Is that his name?
Yeah, it's Merkley. Jeff Merkley from Oregon.
Yes.
Great, great dude. Amazing senator. Really, really progressive, awesome guy. But, you know, I have a brother who lives in Portland, and he thinks the way we think. And he was, you know, right there putting this up front saying, hey, Merkley getting it done. And I'm like, you know, my first response was, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
And then I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Merkley's got a penis. Mm-hmm. That's why Merkley got it done. The message was Elizabeth Warren's, but Elizabeth Warren has a vagina.
Yeah.
And Mitch McConnell's in it for the long game, right? So he wants to shut women down at every turn. And he wants to highlight, this is a woman, and I am going to tell her no. But when Jeff Merkley gets up with the woman's brilliant message in the first place, he's allowed to stand there and speak where she was from the spot she was removed.
Well, this is all about it. Obviously it happened before Donald Trump came in, but now that Donald Trump is president, these fucking men think that they can, you know, they think that somehow they have earned the right to publicly be assholes and misogynists even more than they ever were. And it just disgusts me. And yes, I love the progressive men that are standing up, but it's bullshit that these mm-hmm. men in Congress silenced the woman. And mm-hmm. we are all paying attention. And there was an article that I saw that really brought up a good point, that the Republicans, and it was actually, I think, written by Justin Rosario at the Daily Banter, I think. But anyway, the point was that Republicans kind of screwed themselves because or maybe it wasn't Justin Rosario. But anyway, Republicans screwed themselves because they brought more attention to this by silencing her. What mm-hmm. would have normally just been an ignored partisan thing now is totally viral. And there, you
Let
know,
loose
she persisted.
Speak, baby.
Yeah. And then she persisted as a hashtag. And so now all of a sudden people who had never heard of this letter, now they know. So I guess right. in some ways they are shooting themselves in the foot without even realizing it. Actually, no, I was wrong. It wasn't Justin Rosario, but still he writes good stuff at the Daily Banter. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are a lot of people writing good stuff. It's kind of that it's tough to keep up with. And I have some of my favorites. And, you know, now that I'm a Twitter person, I've got some of my favorites on Twitter, but I've got to stay. I find that this kind of thing incenses me.
Yeah.
I've always maintained ever since I was like when I first was able to vote for Walter Mondale, do that math. I said a woman has got to be in charge of choices where her own body is concerned and her own, you know, reproductive health and all that jazz.
Yeah.
And that my father agreed with me. Back in the day, my devout Catholic father, you know, women should have a right to choose. Why is it that however many years it's been, 30 plus years, we're still having that same argument and our mm-hmm. rights are being taken from us and we are not considered equal? And it stares us in the face every day. Mm-hmm. And I might sound like a normal person right now as I'm speaking to you, but I'm incensed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And right. And you know, there's a list now with this Donald douche at the helm. You know, it's immigration. It's Wall Street. It's a woman's right to choose. I mean, the dude was pro-choice. He's probably mm-hmm. still pro-choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just
a
fraud.
Taking a stand. He's a fucking idiot. It's not based in, you know, where is he morally on the subject? It's how much mm-hmm. more money can I earn if I say this thing?
Well, and it's also he's basically Steve Bannon's puppet. You know, Steve Bannon is running the show and
President Bannon.
Yeah. And that frightens me more than anything. I mean, I didn't know if anybody could frighten me more than Trump. And I guess Steve Bannon wins. He's running this shadow government with no transparency, no paper trail. And God only knows what's in store. I mean, the man is obsessed with war. He loved the book, The Art of War. He wants to get us into war. They have a vested interest in getting some kind of terrorist attack happening on our soil so he could be a wartime president. Although I don't necessarily think that would help him in this instance. Usually in a normal world, when there is a war going on, a president's approval rating goes up. I don't know that that's possible with Trump. It could happen. But I just don't think that it would because, as you were saying, as we were saying earlier, more and more Trump supporters are turning on him. And already he's got the minority. Because it's not just America. It's the world. It's literally the world versus Trump.
I want to pick up the phone. I wish I could just call him and go, hey, Donald. Guess what? The world hates you.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I got an email today and it just somebody sent it to me, and honestly, I don't know if it's one of those emails that you're not supposed to say out loud, but I'm just going to say it here. And I think it doesn't say that, it doesn't say, but basically on March 15th, each of us will mail Donald Trump a postcard that publicly expresses our opposition to him. And yeah. we in vast numbers from all corners of the world will overwhelm the man with his unpopularity and failure. So basically March 15th, send a postcard, send one postcard, send two postcards, and then you send it to the White House. Which is 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest, DC 20500. And, you know, I think that that's yet another way that we can get under his fucking skin and mm-hmm. drive him crazy. And then right before we get into talking about feminism, I kind of want to talk about the fact that isn't it awesome that women are getting under his skin? I mean, we've got Melissa McCarthy playing Spicer, which was, I'm sorry, one of the most brilliant things I've ever seen in my life. That woman is so fucking cool.
Oh,
and she just did such a good job. It was like she was channeling him. Oh, and then, you know, we've got Meryl Streep, who pissed him off. And then Rosie O'Donnell's offering to play Steve Bannon, which, God, I hope they take her up on that, because that would
that,
be the
that,
most.
That has to happen.
That has to happen. Night. And then there was a headline on Huffington Post that said we should have women play the entire administration, which would just be so cool. Except that somebody, Charles Johnson on Twitter, suggested Iggy Pop to play to play Kellyanne Conway, but then I saw another meme that suggested Willem Dafoe. I don't know. I do like Iggy Pop, but I think that oh my God, it's like women.
Oh my God,
I know. Wouldn't that be awesome? But women are, you know, there was the Women's March. I know, we've got the Women's March. We've got the organizers of the march coming up with a strike day called like a day without a woman or a day without women. And we've got this huge resistance coming from women.
Yeah.
And that is such a huge big deal considering we are under the, I don't want to say rule because he doesn't rule us, but you know, we've got this supposed leader who is mm-hmm. a sexual preditor,
right.
An admitted sexual predator, and obviously a misogynist and a, I want to call him a pig, but then I feel like I'm insulting pigs. So
right.
he's just such a horrible man. So, okay. So this brings me into feminism. And before I ask you about your feminist experience and all of that, I just want to let everybody know that, you know, I'm an admin on several different feminist pages, and I'm not going to say which ones, but because I really have fun when I get email or messages from the trolls, and I like to fuck with them, and I like that they don't know who I am. So anyway, there's one page that I'm an admin on, and I have to say, since Donald Trump got elected, the same message keeps coming, and it's always from these accounts that look like young boys, young white boys, who are either white supremacists or Donald Trumpers or whatever, and they ask the same question, or they say the same thing. I'd like to speak to the man in charge every single time. And so what I've started to do when I answer them is I'll ask them, hey, do you want to be an admin to this page? And then they're like, sure, because they're idiots. And then, you know, I say something really sarcastic and I block them. But
the other
thing that they do is, of course, they email about wanting a sandwich. So it's like, oh my God, really? That's all you've got? It seems to be some kind of like 4chan, I don't know, group or whatever it is, this group of little men's rights activists or little white supremacist misogynists. And they all have the same message, which is,
yeah.
I'd like to speak to the man in charge.
Yeah, and then, it's like, or, get some decent material. Like,
yeah, I know, come
could,
up with something new.
Yeah.
It's like, Jesus. And then the other thing that they do, and it's so clear, they'll email the page and they'll say, I have a question. And it's like, already I know who they are. I know what their stupid mm-hmm. question is. All I have to do is look at their stupid profile picture. And it's like, okay, in order to not necessarily, let's say it's a legitimate person and I don't know if they're legitimate or not. So I'll play along. What's your question? And then, you know, and they're time wasters, really. They want
yeah.
to, you know, and it's like, it's not really wasting my time because I kind of have fun fucking with them. But
yeah.
I've just noticed the uptick in the amount of mail from little boys, really, to the feminist
yeah.
pages. Excuse me. And it's, excuse me. And it's ridiculous. But anyway,
you say little boys, Kimberly, but even the adults.
Yeah.
behave like little boys. Can I just give you this? This might segue nicely into our feminist section. But I was, you've seen me, you know me, you've seen me in person and you've seen me online. I've got short hair. I'm definitely a girly girl, but I'm also a little, I can get a little androgynous and a little bit fierce. Like, you know, when I was marching in DC, I went for like army green and, you know, I had, my hair was particularly short when I was there. And there were a few Trump supporters, men who stopped me on the street and told me I was disgusting.
Oh my God.
Or called me gross. And you know, it's because they probably thought I was gay and that was, you know, they figured they could hurt me that way. And
right.
Really, I want them to think I'm disgusting because I'd rather have sex with a German shepherd than, you know, than a MAGA guy. So here I'm back home and last week I'm driving my car. I had just finished taping a show, with the NorCal medical director of Planned Parenthood. I had makeup on. I had a cute necklace on, like a girly looking top. And I'm driving my car. My Hillary magnet was not on the car because I had it washed anyway. It wasn't there. So I've had trolls, you know, attack me on the road because of my Hillary support. Mm-hmm. But this time, no. I'm in Berkeley. And I'm driving down University Avenue and I'm feeling pretty good and completely minding my own business. And a dude pulls up. I could see him out of my side eye. And here he comes and I look at him. He looks at me and then he shudders and goes, ugh, and like shakes his head. And I thought, that's weird. And then he catches me again and I could see him out of the corner of my eye. And he did it again, even more exaggerated. And I'm like, what is this dude's problem? And here's a guy, and I don't want to call him out, and he was an unkempt looking fellow. He was missing one of his front teeth, like, you know, right front and center, gonzo. And I see him again because he's coming after me. And I looked at him and I rolled down the window, and here's where my mom would say, you should have gone high. but I looked at him and I go, is there a problem? And he said, now, since this is a swearing podcast, I'm going to tell you exactly what he said. He goes, you are the ugliest fucking bitch I have ever seen in my life.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, oh, my God. I kind of thought I looked sort of cute right now. No. Like, where is this coming from? And I immediately went to that place of, he probably thinks I'm gay. He's filled with hate. Mm-hmm. The, you know, all of political correctness is gone. Mm-hmm. Trump is in office and people are flying their hate flags. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, oh my God, what is the problem? What is your problem? And he went on and on, and I don't even need to go. He asked me if I had male genitalia.
Oh,
I answered, yes, I do. And it's way bigger than yours. He told me he was glad he hadn't eaten his lunch today because he feels like vomiting. Like, it was on and on and on. So anyway, I leave, and I was hurt because it reminded me of what it was like back in the 80s when it was okay for people to make fun of me because of my ethnicity. And it just gets you right sort of in that raw spot. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh my God, I was just discriminated against so openly and it was so hateful.
Wow.
And guess what? I'm going to turn that into a positive.
Yeah.
And I'm going to fight even harder. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I had to get that out there because as a woman and as someone who's maybe perceived as a gay woman, you know, now I've got a double whammy.
Yeah. 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 Your skin isn't white and you might be gay.
I'm brown. Triple. I'm a triple threat. I'm a hat trick, okay? According to someone on the street.
You're
so anyway,
a what?
Anyhow.
Wait. You're a what?
A hat trick. You know, in hockey when, I don't even know what it is, but the hat trick is when they hit on three different things. I guess they score a goal. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Someone in sports would be able to chime in and say, but it's, I got three.
Yeah.
I got the trifecta.
Right. Wow. Well, oh my God. I'm sorry that happened to you. I'm sorry for all the shit that's happening to everybody out there. I know that as a blonde woman, a blonde white woman, I'm fairly safe, except only because I, someone who's going to look at me, who doesn't know me, isn't necessarily going to know who I voted for. I don't advertise it on my car. I don't ever wear clothes that would advertise, you know, my political ideology. So, and plus I'm 6 feet tall. So I think that men who might feel emboldened with certain women aren't necessarily going to come up to me because I have a little bit of an intimidating stature. And, yes. You know, and I know that I carry myself with confidence, so I'm not somebody they're necessarily going to pick on. I'm not saying I'm never going to get picked on. I mean, I get picked on online constantly, but just like you said, I mean, I got an email or a message from a woman today, and she was just going on and on about how, she is grateful for my activism because she can't even imagine how much crap I have to deal with. On a daily basis. And I even had a man email me that, and he's like, I don't know how you deal with all of it. And, you know, I have to say, when it's online specifically, it's just fuel to my fire. It's just, it's fuel for me. It's food. I remember when I was in, when I was a senior in high school, I was in a debate class, and I really fucking loved that class because I got to go up in front of everybody and have my big mouth, and I got to shoot it off, and like everybody would roll their eyes when they'd see me going up there because they knew I was going to start some shit. And this has always been something that I've been fond of doing, and now that I have a social media platform to do it, it's just awesome because when I get these trolls, I, you know, whether or not I bat them around like a cat with a mouse or I just simply block them, each one of them, like you said, gives me the fire to go even harder and to go even stronger. And, right. And you know, I think that, I mean, that's just a form of, I guess, like activism. But, you know, I don't know if you're comfortable saying your age, but I'm going to be 49 this year. I'm 48 years old. And mm-hmm. when I was growing up, it was the 80s, you know, and right. Everything that I had seen, everything that I saw, everything from the 70s on up was advancement of women. I saw women putting on their tennis shoes and walking on, you know, in New York and Wall Street right. while they were, you know, being executives. And my mother was a single mother and she took care of business. She always made sure the bills were paid. I think once or twice she asked my father for help. But really she didn't ask him for help. She, mm-hmm. she did it on her own. And there was one time in the whole time that I was growing up, because my parents split when I was 3, and they're friendly. And actually lately she just moved back east close to where he lives, and he's been incredibly helpful. And she's told me, she's like, oh my God, I'm just so overwhelmed because he's done so much. I mean, she bought this house and he came over with a bottle of champagne. And so, you know, they have a good relationship.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, so, you know, but for a very long time, it was just me and my mom. And there was one time, and it was 1 month where she had a really difficult time paying the bills. And so literally all I ate the whole month was potatoes because they were cheap. And, but you know what? I never felt sorry for myself because I liked it. I mean, I'd have mashed potatoes, I'd have French fries, I'd have fried potatoes. And I had been on a diet. I was 13
Sounds
years
delicious.
Old.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah. I was on a diet for like a year and I wasn't eating any of the white food. So it was kind of like a big, like it was awesome that I could eat potatoes, but you know, it was just that 1 month, and then everything went back to normal. And my mom and I had a pretty solid steady childhood in that every night we had dinner together. She always included me in conversation. She never treated me like a kid. She just treated me like Kimberly. And mm-hmm. so my I never walked around announcing myself, I'm a feminist. But if you would have asked me, yes, of course I'm a feminist. None of this feminist stuff started, like, you know, me screaming it, you know, as loud as I can, until basically Rush Limbaugh called Sandra Flick a slut. And right. so that's when I started really being vocal about feminism. And I have a lot of opinions on that. But before I get into mine, I want to ask you, like, when did you realize you were a feminist? And what does it mean to you to be a feminist? I mean, obviously it means legal equality and social equality, but, you know, it's also a term that's been misused and misrepresented. But what does it mean to you?
So my parents, I voted for Mondale, so I'm a little older than you.
I honestly thought you might be younger.
I'm 51. I'm forever young. I'm forever, like, honestly, I'm embracing this minus the way my neck skin is turning out. I'm digging getting older, and I'm loving life experience because I think I'm a bit of a late bloomer. And so I feel like I'm kind of coming into my own now. Mm-hmm. But when I was a kid, you know, my dad, is Mexican, was, my father passed away. My dad's Mexican. My mom's Italian. They got married very young. And so they built everything from nothing. And my father, was a very educated man, and he is because my mother put him through school. When my dad was getting his master's degree at Stanford University in 1974 and 75, my mother worked a day job as a secretary. She made $8,000 a year. Wow. She typed all of his papers on an electric Smith Corona. And my little brother and I drank powdered milk, and, you know, we didn't really know. I mean, I knew we were on a budget. That's the way they put it. But I had great role models, you know, looking back. Right. And my father really instilled in me from a very young age, and I want to say that Stanford time, mm-hmm. was when he started treating me as if I were a much more mature person, and we would have really meaningful conversations, and he told me, you can do whatever you want. You can be a doctor. You can be an astronaut. You can run for president of the United States. You just have to be willing to do the work. Mm-hmm. And so, and I was also kind of a tomboy. I think maybe I had a wee chip on my shoulder because in the early 70s, girls weren't allowed to do things like play baseball. Mm-hmm. There weren't, I don't, you know, where I grew up, there wasn't a girls baseball team or a softball team or anything like that. And I didn't like that there was inequality from a really young age. And my dad would be like, well, you know, I'll talk to the, let's start a softball league for you girls, cause I'm sure you're not the only one, or let's see if we can get you to play on the boys team. And so he always made it seem like, there were possibilities for me, just like there were possibilities for all the boys. Mm-hmm. And so I think I just was raised a feminist.
Yeah. Me too.
And yeah. And I mean, my mom's a total, you know, my mom is like the nasty woman, you know, she loves that whole movement, and mm-hmm. she is so down with everything I'm doing. And as loud as I want to be, she's right there with me, supporting me. But I think that feminism, I really figured out what it was because of the way my father articulated things for me as a kid. So I'm eight,
yeah,
I'm fighting.
Yeah. I mean, my father was a feminist, or is a feminist, and obviously my mother's a feminist. So it was just something that I never even really thought about again until 2012. It was just an automatic, yeah, sure, I'm a feminist. Next. And, right. You know, but it's interesting because as an online feminist and really immersing myself into the, you know, the bloggers and the memes and the feminist pages, I've really learned a lot. Some of it I don't necessarily agree with, but that's, to me, the beauty of feminism. I know that there are some women out there that would be described as militant feminists, whether that would be from the right or, I don't know, I've seen certain women be described as militant feminists, and I'll give you an example of one. There was this one woman on my Facebook page. She was from England, and I used to go out with someone, a guy, who told me that wearing makeup was like wearing a mask, and that I was covering up my true self, which I thought was complete bullshit. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was just a control tactic. And it was like, whatever, fuck you. So I posted something along those lines on my Facebook page. And this woman from England came on and really was trying to attack me for saying, you know, no, I can't remember what feminist she asked me if I had ever read, but basically talking about the fact that women shouldn't wear makeup. And it's like, no, that is, feminism is about you do whatever the fuck you want.
That's
and,
right.
And you wear makeup if you want. You shave your legs if you want. If you don't want to, it's your choice. If you want to have a kid, have a kid. If you don't want to have a kid, don't have a kid. It's all about choice. And it was interesting because she was going on and on and on about the makeup thing. And I went over to her Facebook page and I saw all these pictures of her. And we were Facebook friends. All these pictures of her wearing makeup. So I took one of those pictures and I posted it, and I, you know, and I said, well, you're wearing makeup in this picture. And then she completely flipped out on me, and she was saying I was stalking her, and it's like, whatever. So, but I mean, I've seen some crazies out there, which I consider to be crazy feminists that I don't agree with. And those feminists seem to get all the attention, and, or at least like the right likes to use those types of women to say, this is how all feminists are. And frankly, with this woman who came after me, my problem with her was not that she wore makeup. It's that she was being a hypocrite, and that she came after me because I enjoy wearing makeup. So it had nothing to do really with feminism. It was just about the fact that she was being a hypocrite. I've also, like, you use the term tomboy. God forbid you say that on a feminist Facebook page. Don't say it. You can't say the word gypsy, and you can't say the word tomboy. And there are certain opinions that if you're a feminist and you have them, especially with some of the younger feminists, man, they will come after you with the fucking torches. And as a feminist, I'm not really supposed to say this, but I think the fact that you and I come from a different time, we have a slightly different perspective on what feminism is, and you know, I am not too big on the PC stuff. I think it's important for social norms, like, you know, that we don't use certain words, but in the end, you know, I wrote a book called American Woman, The Pole Dance, Women in Voting, and I kind of touched on all of this, where you know, there's you know, I mean, I don't like it when somebody calls someone a cunt. I don't like it, but I don't see the difference in calling someone a dick, because I call people dicks all the time. And, you know, so I just feel like, I know that women get more crap than men. I know they do. But still, it's like, well, if I can't really tell someone not to use the term cunt when A, feminists are using it because they like it, and B, I use dick and occasionally cock. So it's like, you know, to insult someone. So,
and prick.
Yeah, and prick.
Don't forget prick.
And then, you know, the other thing that I briefly want to touch on before we go, because I want to take a couple more questions and then we're going to have to end it, because I knew this conversation just could go on for like 3 hours. But now there's this whole debate out there about intersectional feminism, which is basically being inclusive. There are certain feminists out there who are saying white feminists are excluding everybody else. Since you are not a white feminist, what do you think about that? Do you feel
white
excluded?
White feminists are excluding? No, I don't. I don't have time to worry about whether or not I'm being excluded. And I'm still fixating on what's wrong with tomboy from about 5 paragraphs ago.
Yeah, I don't remember what their specific argument was, but they don't like the term. Evidently, it's an outdated term.
I feel like if we're all wanting the same thing, which is equality, then we're all included.
Exactly. And you know what? This is what I always say, and I even wrote a piece for Huffington Post about this. And I'm not diminishing anything here, but we don't have an equal rights amendment in the Constitution. And I think it's more important that instead of getting angry at each other, because one of us wears makeup and the other one doesn't think we should wear makeup, where's the fucking rage that we don't have constitutional gender equality?
You know what? That goes back to David Frum. Let's find some common ground and let's all put our, you know, let's put our resources together to fight for that. We need equal rights.
Yeah, exactly.
Holy moly.
Because we can all have that debate. But it's like everybody's arguing about where to put the furniture before the house is built. It's like, let's build the goddamn house, and then we'll worry about where we put the furniture. Ain't got no house. Okay, so let's go to a couple questions. We'll do a couple more in the other segment, but I don't want to leave these people out. Okay, so Kathy wants to know, with patriarchy so deeply embedded in our country, how do we continue to rise up and over, especially considering the flagrant example when, you know, obviously Warren was censored and then not allowed to speak again? So I'll let you take this. What do you think we can do? How do we continue to rise up?
Okay. We continue to rise up, but we need to build. We need to reach out to kick-ass dudes who share our views. And we need to tap into people like my incredible husband, who is willing to support me in my desire to run for office. The minute I say something, whether it's on Twitter, you know, because now I'm a Twitter person, mm-hmm. or whether it's on, you know, the lady, he's one of the first ones to share it. He is so proud of me having, of me, you know, being loud.
Yeah.
And saying, and I think there are so many wonderful men. I think we need the men in this fight. And I think that the more people we have saying the same thing, men and women, that patriarchy is going to eventually take a back seat and it's going to be about equality. I really, truly believe that. Because here's another thing, and this, I hope this doesn't sound awful, but my mother's generation and possibly your wonderful, completely kick-ass mother's generation, they came from a time when it was ingrained in them that men were, you know, a couple rungs up. Mm-hmm. That women, you know, men should have, you know, we should do what our men say. Mm-hmm. Men have the final word. They're the deciders. You know, they're the high earners. They're the breadwinners. And that, I think that's going away for the most part.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a generational thing. And so, I don't know. Does that even answer your question?
No, yeah, absolutely.
Really think, yeah. I think we need guys.
Well, just like you said, I mean, my boyfriend, Bob Seska, who writes for Salon, and he has a podcast, The Bob and Joe Show, he's just like your husband. He's very supportive. He's very feminist. And thankfully, he's got a good big platform, too, so that he can help educate people and show that you can be a feminist. And that doesn't make you any less of a man, because really being a feminist isn't about women. It's just about equality. It's just about right. recognizing that we're all equal. And right. So it's pretty simple. Right. Okay, we're gonna do, oh yeah. Okay, here's Megan. Did you see, and I don't have it in front of me. Maybe Bob can send it to me, the Easy D tweet. Did you see that Trump tweeted Easy D?
No, but I'm gonna look it up.
Okay, so I'm gonna get that tweet now, and I'm gonna ask Bob to explain Easy D because I don't remember. I had never heard this term before. So, what is it, Bob? What is the Easy D reference?
It I looked it up on Urban Dictionary. I didn't know it until I looked it up.
Okay.
It's a woman with D cup breasts who sleeps around.
Okay, so Trump's tweet is big increase in traffic to our country from certain areas, while our people are far more vulnerable as we wait for what should be Easy D.
What the hell does that even mean?
That is beautiful.
Unfucking believable. This guy is crazy. Crazy.
He's so stupid.
He is so like a toddler. Stupid. He's like a toddler with a fucking Twitter account.
Do you guys, I'm sure you've seen all of this. And by the way, Bob Seska, can I just laugh? Because here he is, Bob. He's my boyfriend. Bob is what you've been saying all along. And Bob Seska followed me on Twitter a couple weeks ago. And I was like, oh my God, Bob Seska. Okay, I get it now. Thanks, Bob. Thank you for throwing me that phone,
no
honey.
Problem.
I appreciate that so much. But are you guys privy to the Trump can't read movement?
Yes. Yes. In fact, David Pakman did a whole video on it the other day. Did you see that?
Yes, it was so genius. That kind of stuff just warms my heart.
You know, I think he can read. I just think he has poor reading comprehension.
I agree. He has poor reading comprehension and he's too lazy to read.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's never had a boss that wasn't his dad.
Yeah.
He's had one boss his entire life and it was his dad who probably... who even knows? I'm not even going to try to speculate what that relationship was like. But yeah, Trump is a moron. He's an unhinged child,
yeah.
a petulant child who doesn't ever get his phone taken away.
Yeah.
And he needs to have his phone taken away. He needs some consequences, but nobody's checking him.
Yeah, that's why it's up to us. I mean, I believe this strike is important. I think that we have to... I think we have to just stay on him. And it's frightening because the time is running out. And really, you know, it is up to Democrats. I mean, I'm sorry, it is up to Republicans. But what I'm not seeing is this bottom line from Democrats. I wish Democrats would get stronger. And I don't know exactly what they could do. I know that this is a very tough situation. But I would like to see more hard line coming from our side. I'd like to see less red state senators going along with these confirmations. I would like to see more people just resisting him in every way possible. But I'm hoping that as we move forward, we're going to see more of that. And as I said, you and I, you're going to have to come back. Because
I want to. I never want to leave.
I know. Talking is so much fun. And I want to remind everybody, once again that you can go to the Lady Brain. You can follow Steph on the Lady Brain Facebook page, which is just called the Lady Brain. And then
the Lady Brain Show.
The Lady Brain Show. And then, which I have on my wall, introducing that I'm doing a podcast. Then there's also the Lady Brain show.tv website.
That's my beautiful website.
And then you've got the Lady Brain Show with Steph Walton on Twitter. No, I'm sorry, on YouTube.
On YouTube. Yeah, I mean, come on.
And then Twitter
is... Just search the Lady Brain Show.
Just
you'll
search
find
it. You'll find
Twitter's,
everything.
Twitter's at Lady Brain Show.
She's totally awesome. And it's worth it. So stick around, Steph, because we're gonna do the bonus show for subscribers. For everybody else... Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for having me.